Good morning. I'd like to bring this meeting of House Education to order. It is 8:02 on Wednesday, March 18th. Present are Representative Keller, Representative Munoz, Representative Book, and Representative Gardner, myself, Chair Seaton. And remind everybody about their cell phones. And today we are going to hold confirmation hearings on four governor appointments. And we have three that are for the Professional Teaching Practices Commission, and one for the Board of Early Education and Early Development, State Board. And we have two members that need to leave fairly quickly, so we'll take them first. So I didn't get the pronunciation. Jill X.
Not here.
Is she online? Not online yet. Cindy Lou Alarod. She online yet? Oh, well, we'll be getting there in a moment then. So let's just go at ease for a couple minutes and see if they call in, because they did need to leave pretty quickly. At ease. We'll come back to order. And I believe Cindy Lou, is it Alarod? And can you, are you online?
Yes, I am, and it's Avod.
Oh, okay, thank you. And would you go ahead and identify yourself fully on the record, and let us know why you are wanting to have a position on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. Did we lose her?
Delta Junction. And anyway, I have found my work with the commission to be extremely fascinating and rewarding. I feel like I am a good representative for the teachers in the state of Alaska, and that I am very fair and honest and trustworthy, and can truly be an advocate for teachers and students in our state. And so I think I do a great job.
Great, Cindy. And we had a cutout in the speaker system when you first came on. Can you just go ahead and repeat your name for the record?
Oh, sure. Cindy Lou Avod.
Great. Are there questions for Cindy? Representative Gardner.
Thank you, and thank you very much for your willingness to continue serving, Cindy. Your comment kind of brought a question to mind. I didn't have one, and you talked about being an advocate for teachers and for students. And do you see any areas where their interests may not be identical, the interests of students and teachers? Or do you think they're fully aligned?
It depends. No, I think I would like to think that they're fully aligned, but that is not always the case. And that is one purpose of the commission, is to make sure that we are very careful about the teachers who are teaching in our state, and that they are there with the total interest of students at as number one priority.
Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
Are there other questions? Cindy, on the teaching practices, you know, we've had a shift towards tests being, you know, whether it's No Child Left Behind or other things. Can you give us any of the perspective of how the professional practices deals with any of those kind of issues?
You know, I'm very sorry, sir, but we're having some technical difficulties at this end here, and I'm so sorry, I apologize, but could you please repeat that?
Sure. You know, there's been a large emphasis on tests, testing, whether it's No Child Left Behind or the high school qualifying tests and those kind of things. Can you just give us a perspective of the Professional Practices Commission? Does it deal in any way with those issues?
Well, Actually, we have, yes. And there are very clear rules in the instructions of the high school qualifying exam and our state testing that are done. And if those rules are not followed, then that is when the Professional Teaching Practice Commission is alerted to that and is possibly presented with a teacher who has not followed the rules, and we have to make a decision on that. So, yes, we have been presented with some cases on that. It's a very difficult, you know, it's very difficult to make a decision on what to do in any, well, not in any particular case, but in many, because you do want to protect our Alaska children, and you're also affecting someone's life too. But yeah, we have had some issues with the No Child Left Behind testing, and we have followed through on those in the best possible way to ensure that every teacher in our state is delivering the test in the same way.
And just following up on that, Cindy, there's been questions of how well in teaching practices we're using the information from the annual tests for standards that are going forward. And, you know, there's some concern that there's a lot of testing. We have this, and from that testing, we get a lot of valuable information, but that the profession might not be fully utilizing the results of that of those tests in a way to improve students. Is that something that that the commission would work on as far as a professional practice? And
I'm not positive on that, but I know that we do work with districts and superintendents to make sure that you know, the ethics of teaching are followed, and testing, of course, is one of our big issues. So at some point, I mean, I know we discuss things like that, and at some point we may have to you know, develop more specific language into our moral code of ethics.
Thank you, Cindy. It's just something that has really come before us as far as how to more effectively have teaching and the tools, the information that's available. And, you know, that's just what's come before this committee and from several different sources, is that there may be a lot more individualized student information that's available. And so as you go forward, we appreciate you looking at that. And Representative Keller has a question.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I absolutely will put that down, too. Thank you.
Representative Keller.
Yeah. Thank you for your service, Cindy. I was sitting here wondering, the PTPC, how far does its jurisdiction reach? And what I'm really getting at here is, in times past, the teachers were expected to have the values of the community, the values of the area. And I was just curious, I mean, do you often get into things where a teacher doesn't really fit the values of the parents? Let's say you had a real strong advocate for drilling in Anwar, and he's in, you know, and this teacher's in a district where that wouldn't be acceptable, or vice versa, or whatever. Do you get into that at all? I mean, what's the standard that you set for teachers being an example to their students? I mean, do you get it? Is that, would that be just dismissed by the PTPC as not relevant, or do you get into that, or whatever?
You know, it's hard to say, because every case is unique, and we have to look at all the information that is presented to us on any particular case so that we can make a well-informed decision on what sorts of consequences are going to be delivered, if any. And but I know with our moral code of ethics that is given to every teacher, that we really hope that every teacher would be their most professional self and present the job that they are given and deliver education to our students, because our ultimate priority is to help students learn and become productive members of our society. So I'd like to think that every teacher has that goal and would follow through on that. But of course, there are some who may differ, and that may be who we might see on PTPC. But as I said, every case is so individual that it's hard to just say a steadfast rule.
And a follow-up, Reverend Keller.
Yeah, thank you, Cindy. That was a good answer. But it probably wasn't very specific, and it's because I can't be. I don't really have it clear in my head. But the moral code of ethics that the teachers are given, say they break that outside of the classroom, but there's no evidence of any kind of not following that code of ethics in the classroom. So professionally, they would be above reproach, but you have parents that are angry because of something that's going on that's not in the classroom. What do you do in a case like that?
Well, we would first it goes to our commissioner, and she would look at all the information and do interviewing and talk to the person to tell them that, I'm assuming it's already come to PTPC. So she would talk to the person that was turned into PTPC, and then she would make a decision at that point after all the interviews of deciding if this was a case that our committee needed to study and see. And so that would then be brought before us. But on the decisions that our Commissioner Truman makes, we have the say of we examine it and say, yes, we agree with that decision, we should stand by that, or the committee members can say, no, we want to examine that more further and see if we need to make another decision or not. But and then we would very carefully examine all the information that was given to us, and if it was taken a step further to a hearing, then we would sit in the hearing and listen to all that we were presented with and then make a decision.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is this follow-up on the same question? Okay, thank you. I wanted to recognize the Representative Edgman has been here with us the whole time since we've come back on the record. We have Representative Gardner and then Representative Munoz.
Thank you very much. Cindy, I noticed that you have a special education endorsement and you're currently teaching physical education. And so my question is, are you among those teachers who have, I think, taken off the endorsement from your teaching certificate? And then related to that is, do you have any suggestions for state policies that could encourage teachers to become special ed teachers or to get the endorsement?
Okay. No, I still have the special education endorsement on my certificate. I have three endorsements. I'm in elementary education, physical education, and special education. And I have an interesting situation, actually, in that I have recently retired from my physical education position and have been traveling the state of Alaska and presenting author visits and writing to students all around the state and the United States with my book Recess at 20 Below. And my school district called me in February because our high school special education teacher resigned. And so I am currently in the high school special education position, completing the year for her and loving every single minute. But so I feel like I am in a very special position in that I have been able to visit with teachers all around the state and talk about issues that are affecting their school and the state of Alaska, and I've been able to bring that to PTPC. And so rather than just being an elementary physical education teacher only seeing Delta Junction, I feel like I'm bringing a much broader scope into that. You bring up a very good point in how can we encourage teachers to enter the special education arena. And that's a problem that we're seeing all across the United States. I do not know the answer to that. Special education, while being a very rewarding position, is also very difficult in that there is a lot of paperwork and meetings that have to be held, so it's a very time-consuming position. I pondered that question myself because just like this spring, my school district could not fill the position with another special education teacher, and they called and asked if I would please consider filling that position. So I don't know. I think it's going to take a lot of positive publicity. I know NEA does a lot of positive publicity for teachers, and they might be able to get onto the bandwagon with all of us trying to solve this problem. But that's a very good point, Representative.
Follow-up, Representative Gardner.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Representative Munoz.
Thank you. Hi, Cindy. This is Kathy Munoz from Juneau.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was wondering about how the commission deals with targeted campaigns to discredit a teacher, and if you find that is an issue or a problem that the commission has seen. I know of a situation in my own community where a teacher, I believe, was unfairly targeted and went through a very stressful time that led, I believe, led to the commission and to a hearing at the commission level. Could you just respond to that and tell me if that's something that you see often?
I don't know. I wouldn't use the term often, but it is something that we have seen and has been brought to PTPC. And I think what you mean by targeted is that maybe community members just decide that they, or even school officials decide that they don't want this particular teacher on their staff any longer or teaching their children, and so they make it very difficult. I'm sure that does happen. Hopefully it is not frequent. We have seen a few cases where it appears to be that problem, but of course, like I said before, every single case is so unique and individual that we really have to look at every case and try to determine what is going on and just consider all the interviews and all the facts that we've been given. And when somebody brings it to a hearing, that is really helpful for us too, because we actually get to hear somebody, you know, the person's point of view in their own voice. But I know that that's an unfortunate situation when something like that happens, and we like to think that teachers get to spend all their time putting together lessons and presenting those to students, but when there's such a stressful situation, that's not the case. And I can't speak to the case that you're referring to, but, I would hope that I trust our Commissioner Truman. She is absolutely excellent and outstanding to do the research and try to figure out exactly where this is coming from, and then that we would determine that in a fair and equitable fashion.
Thank you.
And thank you, Cindy, and really appreciate it. This is a pretty good amount of conversation about a reappointment, and I hope you understand that the committee is very interested in all facets of education, and that's what the questions are about. And we're trying to, we're not trying to put you on the spot, but trying to figure out how we can improve education across the state. So I don't see any further questions, Cindy. We really appreciate your taking the time to serve on the commission and putting your name forward again. And so we will, do I have a motion?
I'd like to move to recommend Cindy Liu, last name, I'm sorry.
Alod,
Cindy Liu Alod, for confirmation from the Committee on Education, House Committee on Education.
Thank you, and that was Representative Munoz, and that was a motion that we have considered the and reviewed the application, and we will forward it to a joint session. Do I see any objection? Seeing no objections, thank you very much, Cindy, for coming forward.
Oh, I thank you all. Thank you, representatives, and it is truly an honor to serve the state of Alaska, and I've enjoyed having conversation with you, and I would just welcome any conversation if you ever have questions about education, and I think that we all have to be on the same team to make our state be the very best we can possibly be, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Cindy, and I just want to extend to you and all the other folks that we will be interviewing that if you have ideas that you have that could help education across the state, we would sure be interested in hearing those. So feel free to contact us as well, not just about a problem, but about ideas. So thank you again for calling in.
Well, thank you very much, and you all have a great day.
And now we have Jill X, or Xe. Good morning. I hear you on the line. Would you go ahead and put your name on the record with the correct pronunciation, because I'm sure I'm messing it up, and go ahead and introduce yourself, and would you let us know why you want to be on the commission? Jill, are you online?
Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
Well, we can hear you now. We've got a bit of an echo. I think we've got satellite problems today. But would you go ahead and put your name on the record and let us know why you would like to serve on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission?
Thank you. My name is Jill Exe. It is short, just three letters, but it is two syllables. I'm very eager in participating in the PTPC. It is a continuation of what I already do. I work at the district level as grievance chairperson and have done that for a number of years. And as I was listening to the previous conversation, I think the combined efforts of PTPC and your committee's interest in improving education and making sure that our educators are doing the best job that they can and that we're providing the services they need so that they can do that job for our children is important.
Oh, thank you very much. Questions? Representative Keller.
Jill, this is Wes Keller. I just can't help but point out I have very fond memories of your home there, Kaktovika, and I wondered how long you've been there. I date myself, but I have one of the memories I have there is the first phone. And the first phone was a plastic, black wall phone, and it was nailed to a telephone pole. I remember standing out in 20 below and talking to my family. I worked for the school district up there. And another memory I had, there's a guy by the name of Daniel that used to keep the school up there maintenance-wise. And one day I was standing with him and several others, and he got all excited, and he was not a very excitable guy. And he was excited because there was a teacher walking to work, and there was a polar bear following the teacher. And I didn't see the polar bear, but he was accustomed to that. He saw the black dots, you know, so he was just really excited. But anyway, that's really off subject, but I just couldn't resist it. Like I say, I'm glad you're willing to serve. Thank you.
Well, I'd just like to say that this is my first year in Coxtovic, but I have worked for the North Slope Borough School District for 16 years, and I actually moved from Barrow to Coxtovic, and I am as happy as a pig in mud. I love this little community, and I love seeing the polar bears. They do get close. And you mentioned Daniel was M&O. I don't know him particularly, but our maintenance and operations staff is phenomenal. They definitely keep us safe and keep us in the right places.
And Representative Gardner.
Thank you. And thank you very much for your willingness to serve, Jill. I see that you have an ESL endorsement, and I'm just sort of curious, do you have reason to use that here in Alaska?
Yes, we do. Actually, our district has a number of students that are identified ELL, or English language learners, because the native language is spoken in the home. And I just recently finished our IPT testing. We have 7 students in our little community that are getting additional support. We have a person on staff, an ELL coordinator, and so yes, I do find that it is pertinent to my job.
Thank you. And just as a follow-up,
Representative Gardner.
Thank you. Thinking of the ELL students, do you have in Coxtovic, or do you have familiarity with the Parents as Teachers program?
I have just a brief. I've heard of it, but I haven't had any experience with it. Was there something in specific that you wanted to discuss?
I just was interested in your opinion of it, if you'd had kids that came out of the program, if you had a sense of how effective it was. But that's okay.
Yeah, I apologize, but I can't speak to that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And Jill, I guess the question that I had asked was about on testing and teachers using those individual test scores and finding out to the fullest extent, and whether that is anything that the Professional Practices Commission looks at as far as improving education at all, or if that's a subject that comes up. I understand the complaint system, but I'm not sure about the advocate see in any way for methods of improving education. So could you just address that very briefly?
Sure. I think you're addressing that proactive piece.
Yes.
And I think that, in all honesty, this is brand new to me, the PTPC, as far as actually serving on the committee. But I do think that the coming together of 9 teachers from across the state and having the opportunity to discuss education in general, and then going back to their districts where we can talk about, you know, teachers in this area are doing this, and if somehow we can foster some professional development in that way. But as far as actually on the committee, advocacy, I'm not exactly sure how that fits into the schedule of the business that they have at hand. So I will be looking into that as well. I do think that the state of Alaska is, while it's incredibly large, it's phenomenally tight, and people can share ideas, you know, from Sitka to Coxtovic or wherever, Juneau, and I think that we can, as professional educators, promote and advocate some of those things we need that we know that need to be done.
Thank you, Jill, and I know that's not your role on the commission, but whenever we have the opportunity to share ideas and concerns that have come up before the committee in multiple fronts, that's what I want to do. I really appreciate your volunteering for this service. I think we don't have any further questions here, but thank you very much for taking your time this morning to talk with us. And do I have a a motion? Representative Gardner?
Mr. Chair, if you can help me through the exact language the committee has examined the...
Sure, just that we have reviewed the qualifications.
We have reviewed the qualifications of Jill M. Exe, and we move that she be move forward, her application move forward to the combined committee.
Joint.
Session for confirmation.
Thank you very much, Jill. Appreciate that. And as I extended to Cindy, if you have ideas that you think that the committee should be working on, not necessarily from your role on the commission, or if there are things that the commission thinks that need to be changed, we're open to conversation from you as well. So appreciate that, and thank you for taking your time this morning.
I'd like to thank you all. I appreciate your questions, and I look forward to having future conversations with you.
Thank you again. And Janelle?
Yes.
Can...
Who's going to look here?
Yes, please. Did we get our box fixed? Cool. Or do we need... Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning, Janelle. Would you go ahead and introduce yourself for the record and tell us why you would like to serve?
My name is Janelle Keplinger, and education has been a passion since I was in high school. I was lucky enough to learn that when I was there, and I've been in the field for 27 years. Served on many committees through my school district and through my school, and I just felt kind of a need to expand that, you know, and the possibility of helping or serving on a committee and looking beyond my school district or my community and more in terms of the state.
Great. I'm sure we have questions. Representative Keller.
Thank you. thank you for being willing to serve in this important role. Just curious if you'd mind talking to us a little bit about your perspective on school choice. You know, it's a big issue across the nation in the context of what we have available for Alaska. Obviously, we have a lot of communities where choice is limited by geographics, but just in your principles, your thoughts on that, I'd like to hear. Thank you.
That's a good question. Just within my community, I think it's, excuse me, I think it's important for parents to feel to have that choice, you know, but I think it's important for parents to have it be an educated choice. In other words, if it would be something that, you know, and I can only speak to, say, for instance, we have four elementaries in our district, and oftentimes parents, you know, talk to a neighbor or talk to someone else about, you know, the reasons they want their child to attend that school, and I think it's important that parents realize that sometimes it's a comfort thing, and that it needs to be something that is an educational purpose. So if you want your child to attend a specific school, because I'm not familiar with the bill or the resolution for that at this point, but I'm in terms of just looking at school choices, I think that inviting those, we just had our parents come in and say, you know, you need to be a part of this school. You need to spend some time here, spend some time with the teachers, and then, you know, make your decision from that. Not necessarily, you know, speaking to a neighbor or looking at one area in particular. Is that...
All right, that's fine. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Gardner.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I want to thank you for giving us the leeway to ask questions about issues that are sort of outside our role here for confirming your appointment or moving it forward. But, you know, we have here sort of a pool of people who are qualified, experienced, who are leaders in their fields, and it's a good opportunity for us to explore other issues
sure.
with people. So I appreciate that. And in that vein, I see that you have a Master's of Arts in Special Education, and you heard some of our...
I don't know if I stated, this is the State Board of Education, not the Professional Teaching Practices.
Yes. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry. I just wanted to make
no.
sure.
Yeah.
There was just a question to make sure that we realized the position we
yeah.
had. So,
sorry,
Representative Gardner.
That's okay.
I see you have a Master's of Art in Special Education, and you've heard some of our other questions. Do you have comments or suggestions about what we can do to try to address the desperate need we have for special ed teachers in the state.
Through Chair, Representative Gardner. It's a tremendous challenge. I think that special ed is really near and dear to my heart. And it is a tremendous challenge, and I think some of it has to do with getting those students that are involved in the universities right away. I think some of it is an unknown. You know, they're not familiar with it, they haven't spent time in the classrooms, they may not, you know, because you don't know the kids you're going to get in that classroom. I think for a lot of teachers, they're just afraid of what could possibly happen, and then feeling that they don't have that background to cover, you know, the classroom or to you know, handle the kids that come in, you know what I'm saying? And so I think it's important to do it at the university level and, you know, try and encourage those students to be a part of those classrooms early on. I worked in a special education classroom in high school, and I think part of it's just that fear of just coming in and not really knowing what was going to happen or, you know, how to handle yourself or how to handle those situations. And so I think it would be important to start getting students involved in that early in the universities and even in the high schools, and trying to encourage those students to move further on, be involved in Special Olympics, all those kinds of things I think would be important. Because I think once you establish those relationships and you see that, you know, the needs of these kids are really not that different than the needs of any child that's in our educational system. Uh-huh. And so I think it would be important to have kids see that and not feel fear about that or, you know, be nervous about that. Sorry.
Thank you.
Thanks. And Representative Book and then Keller.
thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, you see you don't have a whole lot of competition here, so I just want to alleviate any of your worries and try to let you know that you might have the job, so you could probably relax.
I'm trying. I don't know what the deal is. I think it's because I had to sit there. It's just like, oh, right. My goodness.
Anyway, you'll find that we're just folk, too.
So, I can see that. I appreciate that.
I do have several questions for you, and this is all within the realm of your expertise, so don't get yourself really worked up about this. We have been educated since we've sat down here as committee people. One of the things that we learned was there's an entity out there called Parents as Teachers. Are you familiar with that? And if you are, could you express what they do in Kodiak?
Through Chair, Representative Booth. I'm not familiar with it in Kodiak, okay. But I have read a little bit about it, and I guess the philosophy of it I'm very excited about, because I think that is the challenge with Alaska, is that we have such diverse communities and you know, tremendous need in that area. And early childhood is so exciting because you know, if you can help those kids at that point in time, it makes all the difference for the rest of their school career. And I think when you're looking at, as far as I'm concerned, Parents as Teachers is that partnership where we're training those teachers or those parents to be the teacher in that situation. I think you also create a relationship where the parent realizes the importance of an education, and so that can continue throughout that child's education. And also I think that those parents would be advocates for that program in that community. I think it would be, especially for some of our village and rural areas, I think that's thank you. I think that would be very important. And I think that partnership is probably one of the key factors in making sure that kids are successful in school, if you have those parents involved.
Representative Book, follow up.
Well, as long as you led into this question, could you describe what it is in Kodiak, in your experience, the involvement of the community?
I feel our community is very involved. Our schools make a lot of effort to get the parents into the schools and involved in the PTSAs and the different activities that are going on. I do think that it's I do think it's a difficult thing, because I think as parents, I think it's sometimes intimidating when they first come in, and I think it on the front line are your teachers, you know, especially those teachers, you know, at the beginning of school. Making sure that those parents see that they are valued as a part of that team, and letting them know that, you know, if they have questions or requests, that those need to be addressed and honored as much as possible. I think the important thing is doing things that we do a lot of activities with kids. We do a family reading night, family math night, where the kids bring the parents in, and I think that's your key factor, especially like with our student-led conferences. Those kids are leading the parents and letting them know what's important to them, showing them the work that they've done, or, you know, like at family night, coming in and doing a game or whatever. And I think the parents begin to relax and see the importance of that. I think at the elementary level, I think it's they're much more involved. I think they're a little bit more intimidated at the middle school and the high school level, but I think that that is changing, and it's just a constant goal, and I think you have to continue to look at your parents and the ways to get them in the best.
And follow-up, Representative Booth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you give us an idea as to how many of your students have English as a second language? You know, in the ASD, in the Anchorage School District, we have 93 different languages spoken. So I was just wondering what the makeup is in Kodiak.
I don't know the percentage. I would assume that it's probably, you know, 50 to 60% of those kids are English language learners. We have many, you know, Russian, we've had Russian, and we've had Tagalog, Filipino, Samoan, El Salvador, and we have a very diverse population, especially in Kodiak, with all the transient and populations coming in, working in the canneries, and then deciding to make Kodiak their home. So it is a very diverse population.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Keller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The exciting job that you applied for, you know, I mean, in seeing the education system in Alaska from the 50,000-foot level was really fun. Full-time job, just keeping track of Eddie, you know. I mean, you got all kinds of things here you can do.
I've been kidding that.
I'm sure you're aware of our challenge in the state with the dropout rate. And if you were acting alone, in other words, money wasn't an object, and you could do something for the state to get rid of the dropout problem, rate problem we have, what would you do?
Through Chair, Representative Keller. I think I would spend a lot of time with kids. I think I would spend a lot of time with 7th and 8th graders, with high schoolers. I would spend a tremendous amount of time with parents and teachers. I had three children go through high school, and all of them are very different. And I think that as an educator and as a parent, it's just a constant reminder that not everybody is the same, you know. And I think it's difficult. It's a very challenging job to try and you know, and to assess kids and to make sure that their education is appropriate and effective and but not everybody fits into a traditional model. So I think it's important that you spend, I think my biggest key thing right now, I think that for, especially for those kids that are not making it in the traditional model, I think I would look more for some vocational things. You know, what are the interests of those kids? What are some things that I can do to hook them back into school to make them want to be there? And it may not be in a traditional high school setting. It may be someplace that, you know, a career center or someplace where they could have some individual attention. Find out what is the place that they're not failing. I don't want to say that, but what is the place that's most challenging for them, and how can I support them in that? And I think that that's where I would spend a tremendous amount of money, is and time. Is in trying to meet the needs of those kids on an individual basis, get them back on track, and then be able to see what we can do to make sure that they are successful.
Representative Keller.
Well, thank you. That's a very encouraging answer to me. We had an alternative school student here, and I asked her, you know, why, you know, if her school now was interested in, and she knew what it would take to get her graduated, and that's exactly how she responded, is my teachers talk to me about the strategy, you know, that I have for graduation. I was really impressed with her answer, and I was impressed that your answer went down the same road. Spend time with the kids, get to, you know, talk to them, and build their education plan around them. And thanks.
Thank you. I had a question on the high school diploma as well. We've been having meetings, and we're trying to look at making the high school diploma or graduation certificate more relevant. We've had the problem of looking at the high school diploma as seat time. You know, if you suffer through the time and you have a minimum competency, then you get a diploma. And so we have, in fact, the committee is bringing forward a bill for discussion of looking at and taking some kind of assessment of achievement. And right now we're looking at the work keys system and putting those on the diploma so that, you know, the feeling is, if it's not just measuring time, it's actually they're on the diploma or on the transcript, there's going to be competency levels put on the diploma that the question is, would then kids, even in their senior year when they've got senioritis, still have something to gain by participating in and improving those achievement scores? Can you, as somebody who's wants to be on the State Board of Education, kind of relate that, and whether you think that would be a good idea to have not just everybody having the same diploma, but having some kind of achievement assessment on there, and if you think that would be a mechanism we could work with.
I was very excited about that, and that's another reason I'm excited about being on this board, is that I spent a tremendous amount of time this week reading through those things, and some of those things I was not familiar with. And so I think that to heighten that awareness of all the things that are happening can only make me a better teacher, and also to go back to my community and to make sure that, you know, I inform them of the things that are happening. And in speaking directly to the work keys, I thought that was an excellent idea. I think that it's great because a lot of those kids that aren't having success necessarily in a situation where it's a traditional classroom probably have a lot of hands-on skills and competencies that they haven't been able to demonstrate in other areas. And I think that giving them that opportunity is can only make it more successful in high school. And also, I think that it's of a benefit to the business and knowing what a child is coming out of high school able to do, and then using that as a partnership where the high school and the community are together looking at things that are important for kids to have when they come out of high school, not necessarily just the diploma, but what are they capable of doing and what are they able to handle, and using that as part of a portfolio, which you know, a portfolio would give a lot more information to that student and to an employer or to a college than just the diploma. And I think that I think it's a great idea. And I think it would motivate kids, instead of just saying, like you said, you know, you need to be here for a certain amount of time. If I was able to go in and to find out that I had, you know, a talent in math or a talent in, you know, and looking for information as part of that work keys, that I could challenge those things and move forward quickly. And then I could, you know, see that success and see that achievement.
And on that, following up on what we were just talking about, what we've been looking at also, the other section of that bill that we're putting together for discussion, is the high school qualifying exam and the trying to have that be meaningful. And the idea that's been put out there is to say that, okay, when you pass all three sections of that high school qualifying exam, then the district will be giving the tuition, et cetera, to distance courses from education facilities around the nation, distance education, and or local dual credits, that those would be, in other words, if the high school qualifying exam is what they are saying has some meaning,
right?
You know, we're not sure that it has the meaning that lots of people think it means. It's not a graduation. It's a requirement for graduation, but it doesn't say that you've really proficient on all the things you should be in high school. but trying to make it meaningful within the system by having the districts then provide the tuition fees for vocational education courses or for, you know, so not just college courses, but many of the college courses are available that deal with vocational education as well as college courses, and bringing that potential for even getting an graduating high school with enough courses for an AAA or something. Can you address that aspect of the high school qualifying exam and whether you think it is currently a meaningful measure or whether you think that something like this or other ideas would be beneficial? Big question. Sorry, a lot of parameters.
I think that initially, I think it was, you know, teachers are they're terrible at change. I mean, we just really are. We expect our kids to do that, but I think that teachers and educators are, you know, we kind of get into that, you know, certain mode or philosophy, and it's difficult for us to change. I think the high school qualifying exam was a challenge. I think its purpose was. I think it was needed. I think there needed to be an accountability. I think we needed to be able to say, you know, how are our students doing? You know, you'd be able to look at something that's across the state that everybody is taking, and to have that. We definitely need that. Assessment is important. And I think that there's different levels of assessment. I think trying to use the high school qualifying exam as to drive instruction may be difficult, because it's difficult to get that turnaround and get that information, you know, quickly. But I do think that there is a benefit for it. And I think that the other thing that's happened with it is that it has created opportunities for educators to sit down and have those discussions. We have to sit down and have those discussions. Whereas before, you know, you just went to your classroom and you taught and you did what you thought was best. And now I think it's brought us to the forefront and saying, you know, even if we don't agree on these kinds of things, we need to have those discussions. I think that it has been represented as one of those things that kids look at that and say, if I've passed the high school qualifying exam, I can graduate, I'm done, I don't have to be here. I think that needs to be changed in that respect. Part of the work is that assessment piece that they're asking for the 6th grade and 8th grade and 11th grade to also take that test. I think that it's challenging for educators to look at one more piece of assessment to try and fit that into their schedules. And how is that going to drive the everyday instruction? I think it would be nice to be able to look at that. And I haven't looked at the work keys. I just had, you know, I've seen it. I haven't taken a test, but I have talked to several educators who have taken it. And their suggestions were the possibility of maybe using the work keys and that assessment portion of it, as in conjunction in the beginning with the high school qualifying exam, or possibly, you know, melding the two of them together, or using pieces of those things. And I think that would be much more effective, especially because with the work keys, those kids know right away. They get that feedback and they're able to move forward and, you know, either expand their math or expand their reading or writing. Whereas with the high school qualifying exam, sometimes it takes a while for that information to come back. Does that answer your question?
Specifically what I was looking at was we're trying to make the high school qualifying exam more meaningful to students, and if they pass all three sections, the districts would then be required to offer through those distance educations or let people challenge courses or whatever, so that we have something so that even though they're staying in time there, that the
vocational
in
the classes
that it qualifies for something instead of just being a, you know, something you pass and then you still do the seat time to graduate.
Right. And so in speaking, I wasn't familiar with that, but that you're saying after taking the high school qualifying exam, possibly allowing them to be in a vocational program that also is used as dual credit.
Vocational or college.
I think that's very effective. Because, like you said, those kids are, you know, are working, are doing dual credit for high school and for college, and so it moves them forward in whatever their goals are. Either it's in, you know, as a career right out of high school, or in college-ready courses.
Great, and we don't mean to put you on the spot.
No.
Some of what we're doing is trying to bounce ideas.
No, I appreciate that. So that's why I'm saying I'm making sure that am I really answering your question.
Yeah, that's right. And we have Representative Edgeman and then Representative Book.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Janelle, welcome to the legislative process. I gather this probably is your first hearing, and you're doing a great job.
I appreciate you saying that.
my question is more a high-level, sort of broader question, and you may not be prepared to answer it now, but it would be interesting to get your remarks and then maybe even to hear from you later on. But we had a not-for-profit organization here before the committee about 10 days ago called the Avant-Garde Learning Foundation, and it was interesting to hear from them because they're doing some exciting things. But it also engendered a question on my part, which I asked them, and I'd like to ask you that same question, and that is just to look from their material here. They mentioned that part of what their mission is to they're doing an alignment study to help create a dialogue between educators, citizens, and policymakers. They're doing Alaska Native Teachers Initiative, and the organization is very interested in data-driven discussions that move us beyond educational decisions not based in fact. And so question you, and again, maybe you can't really fully answer it at this time, but for you to ponder if you can't, but the question would be is that, with the Board of Education, the Department of Education, is there in fact sort of this gap that exists out there that we have to have a third party, an NGO, if you will, non-governmental organization, come forward and help fill this role in order to better serve the educational needs of the state?
Through Chair, Representative Edgeman, I would hope not. I guess from my perspective, I would hope that we wouldn't have to have a separate entity come in, because I think it's... I think it would be more important for us to come together somehow as teachers and representatives and legislators to have those discussions about what is our biggest concerns, and it wouldn't necessarily. I mean, I think that those are great discussions, and I think that is a starting point. I'm just trying, as I'm talking, I'm trying to think about, what was their purpose? And you'd said that they talked about data. And was I correct in hearing you say data not based on fact? Or that's, and I guess I would need more information about what their purpose was. I think that there's a lot of data, and I think that sometimes, you may need an outside agency to come in and maybe organize that data, or possibly set it up so that you could see it better, so that you could understand it better, maybe to bring both parties together and give them that information so it's a starting point, so that everybody's familiar with this, are we talking about the same thing, are we on the same page, I guess, is what I would be looking at. I don't know the company, but I would assume that that's probably what they're looking at, is saying, explaining that data and how you could better use it. But I would hope that we would come together and talk about those kinds of things, and I think that would be a more valuable discussion than having somebody else come in and do that. But in all situations, there's lots of different things that are going on, and so if it's something that if it was a program or if it was a some way to implement something that would be beneficial to the districts in Alaska, I think that would be a valuable situation.
And
is that,
yeah,
I hope that was answering your question.
And we're not trying to put you on the spot to respond to their specific program because you're unfamiliar with it.
Right.
I recognize that.
Right, and I just wanted to make, but I guess what I'm saying is I think that there, I guess it depends on where we're at as at what stage are we at? Are we able to have those discussions? Are we able to move forward effectively? If we aren't, then maybe maybe somebody else should come in and maybe help us through that, you know, that process. But I feel that Alaska is very effective in doing that, and I feel that those discussions, I think teachers feel comfortable contacting people or having those discussions with their districts and with the state. And I'm hoping that from what I see, it sounds like the state is feeling that same way. Is that answering your question? Or
Representative Edgman?
It does, and I think this is a healthy discussion. This is not an indictment on anybody, the organization or the board or the department or anything, but it's just, for me as a policymaker, it's a problem statement that I think we all share in terms of help creating this dialogue. And it's an interesting problem statement because, the discussion document that was given to the committee here did have some pointed statements in it. So as a future Board of Education member, I, at a minimum, at least want to bring it to your attention.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I don't want to say that there isn't an indictment, because when we look at want to have one of the most highest dropout rates in the nation, there is an indictment, and there is things that need to be done. And I think that's why we're all here, is to make improvements, and we appreciate you being willing to serve. But, I, for one, am not saying that the data shows that we're doing the greatest job in the nation on some of the things that we need to address. So, not knocking anybody's job, but it is, as you say, a big job. There are some very specific things. If you haven't received that, we'll give you a copy of their material.
I would appreciate that.
Let's see. Do we have Representative Books?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I noticed under your intro that you described the second sentence some challenges with your children. Is that correct? You have three kids that, in the statement, it says they found it difficult. Could you kind of digress a little bit about that?
Talk about my kids, that would be an easy one. You guys should have started with my
I guess no, next time we will.
I'm sorry, you guys have been great. It's just me. I should have called in from down the hall, maybe. No, I have two boys and a girl. And all of my children have extreme difficulty with reading. You could term them maybe dyslexic, and that dyslexia has gone through my family. My father had it, and my brothers had it. And it was, as a parent, it was extremely difficult to look at that, especially as an educator, somebody that, that works with kids in special education. In the beginning, I had a hard time thinking about what school was going to be like for my kids. My oldest one went through school and had a lot of success. My middle child really took it to heart, and it was very difficult. He walked around the school with a very big book that he had memorized, and he spent much of the day kind of manipulating situations so that nobody knew that he had that disability. And so we worked through that with some tremendous teachers, and he is now able to just tell you that he's a slow reader, but that if you want to remember anything, he would be the one to talk to. And I think that he's also the driving force for me, that if he did not have that vocational piece, he is a welder right now, a boat builder in Kodiak. Mm-hmm. And he did go to college for 2 years. He wanted to at least have that experience. But if he had not had that vocational piece, I really don't think this school would have been a very fun place. And so he's a constant reminder that there are kids out there that we have to really find what motivates them, what is their passion, what is something that they're really good at. My daughter is a combination of the two of them. She's currently going to school in Monmouth, Oregon, studying American Sign Language. So, I think that all those things have helped me as a parent and tremendously as an educator. And also, hopefully, it'll be a piece that will help with my appointment on the state board, to have that perspective, that there are parents out there that are struggling. What what can I do with my child? What can I do to make this a more successful experience for them?
Mr. Chair,
follow up. Representative Booth.
That's the goal of this committee, success at whatever venue it is for that particular child. And I think that's one of the things, the takeaway that I got out of this at any rate. But you broached a subject that is very familiar to me in that I've seen it in my family as well. And you spoke about vocation, and I was just wondering what is available on Kodiak as far as working from elementary school all the way up through high school and beyond.
I think at the elementary school, I think we spend a lot of time helping the kids figure out what kind of learner they are. And I think that that's a good start. You know, talking about, you know, we start looking at, are you a people person? You know, they have different ways of doing that. You know, in kindergarten through all the way on up. But you know, are you good at math? Are you good at problem solving? Are you good at thinking skills? Are you can you see things as a whole, or do you take it apart? All those kinds of things. And I think we, at the elementary level, we spend a lot of time doing those kinds of things. And then I think also letting kids know that not everybody is the same. You know, we talk about that constantly, that, you know, that if you're not necessarily a very fast reader, that you might be really good at remembering things. And I think it's important for kids to realize that not everybody is the same. And I think starting at that early age helps them to appreciate their own strengths and weaknesses, and then also be a little bit more empathetic of other students in their classroom. I think at the middle school and high school, they talk, you know, along those same lines. I think that they spend some time I know that they have lots of community members coming in and talking about their job and explaining what their job is and what they do, you know, and then as they get to the high school level, they have you know, the auto shop, they have the welding, they have, they started out with a career program, but I know that that has changed since my kids were there. But something that the boys did there was they had opportunities to go out into the community and possibly research a job that they might like, spend a day, you know, in a welding shop, or spend a day as a dental hygienist or something like that. Kodiak has changed quite a bit, and I think that there was a period of time where we went through where we didn't have as many vocational opportunities as we do now, and we're starting back in that direction. And if I can digress, I was part of a program that was called CE2 my senior year, and it was called Community Experience Career Education. And I was a very good student. I loved school. But they tried to bring on all different groups of kids to this program. And that program was the one that helped me to realize that I wanted to be an educator. And I spent probably 6 months in a special education classroom, and I knew from that point on that that's what I wanted to pursue. And those kinds of opportunities, at that point, you know, it was on my portfolio, so a lot of people said, well, why were you in that? You know, you weren't, you know, like, you know, you weren't, and I don't want to, you weren't a dropout, or you weren't one of those kids that hated school, so why would you choose to be in that program? So I think that some of that has to happen within that school, that, you know, that stigma needs to go away, you know, that everybody needs to respect the strengths and weaknesses of all students. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Representative Booth?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Absolutely. We'll trade you information. You tell us about CE2, and we'll give you our information about some of the stuff that we have.
I would love that. I would love that. Thank you.
And Janelle, you were just talking about something that's come before the committee in several different formats. And Sacha Sovoloff was in here the other day, and we were trying to dig deep into the problem of dropouts and all. And he explained to us that Native, you know, Alaska Natives come to school with two skill sets. And he was saying it's visual and listening. And that if the schools don't build on those skill sets, then they basically alienate the Native community. And that's been pretty meaningful to, you know, we've been looking at a lot of different things, and all of a sudden it's kind of coming like, well, if the verbal interaction is not the cultural norm in for young children in the family situation or the cultural situation, and if the visual and auditory learning is that cultural norm and what's valued in that culture, how do we have the schools, because I don't think that we've had that conversation. I don't think we've built on their skill set.
Right.
And it appears that that may be one of the reasons why we are having such high dropout rates of Alaska Natives. And on the state board, do you think that, first of all, do you think that that's reality from what you've seen? And do you think that we need to do a better job working with the skill sets that those students come to the learning environment with?
Yes. And I think that that also applies to all kids. And I think it's important, especially for the Alaska Native. And I think you find that, across the state. I think it may be easier in a situation where, you know, you're in a village situation where your whole classroom may be Alaska Native students, and you could gear that classroom to their needs a little bit more so than if you're in, you know, like if you have one or two Alaska Native students in your classroom. But I think that for Alaska the challenge is that we have such, you know, different classrooms. You know, the village and rural classrooms are completely different than the classrooms that I've been working in, but the norm across there is that that classroom has such diversity. You know, you have kids that are working at so many different skill levels and that also have different cultural. You know, I mean, I have children who are, you know, Filipino or Samoan or Japanese or Alaska Native. And each of those cultures, I think, is important to take some time and look at those. I mean, for many of the Japanese children, you know, they do not make eye contact with you because it's a cultural piece for them. And so as teachers, I think for you to be effective with those students and their families, I think you have to be able to be aware of those things and then somehow honor that within your classroom and make your lesson plans accordingly. I think also the other thing is that, you know, for Alaska Natives, I think you see, and for other kids too, you have to have other situations outside of the classroom. You know, we take lots of field trips, we do lots of different things where those kids shine, and you have to be able to give them that opportunity to do that. And then I think you also see different sides to their strengths and weaknesses and to their personalities, and you can bring that back and use that within the classroom. And I think that that's very important. Not only, like you said, for Alaska Native students, but for any student in your classroom, I think it would be very important.
I appreciate that. one of our concerns is that we have such a higher dropout rate among Alaska Native students, and it seems like we haven't incorporated that on a statewide basis. As I think that when we take new teachers out to the bush, I don't think they have the foggiest idea of the skill set that is brought to the school by the students. I mean, I don't think we've trained them. I don't think we've had those kind of, I'm not even sure that the State Board of Education has had the conversation because, and I've been here for 7 years and I've never heard the conversation before. I think the legislature has elevated education with the creation of standing committees in the Senate and House, specifically on education. I'm identifying for you something that we've heard not just from one testifier, but from multiple places, different aspects of that same thing. And if that's something as you serve on the school board, because I think that I can tell you from the committee, we're very impressed with your dedication and your analysis and what you've done in education and the way you're thinking about advancing education in the state, and I'm seeing all nods from around the table here. So and I really appreciate your endurance today.
No, you've been wonderful. I appreciate it.
It was a
rocky start, but
oh, we didn't see it as a rocky start. We have Representative Gardner.
Thank you. We didn't see it as a rocky start at all. We wouldn't have known if you hadn't said it. Representative Book picked up on something that I'm sorry I missed, and I'm glad that he got it, and that's the whole issue of dyslexia. And you use the word learning disability, whatever it is. I have a few constituents who are very, very hot about this issue with their kids. And I've put a lot of time into trying to figure out policy changes that could help dyslexic kids in our schools, using that term kind of broadly.
Right.
And you're an educator and also a parent, and you have a lot of broad experience with that in your own life. Do you see any specific policy changes at this level? I mean, obviously we could always put more money into special ed, have smaller classes, all that kind of thing, but leaving aside funding questions, do you see anything else that we could do at the state level to help with this issue?
Through Chair, Representative Gardner, I think the thing that you have done that has made tremendous difference is reading teachers. That's currently my position at North Star, and I think that having those individuals who are focusing on that specifically and supporting the teachers, you know, my position is that, you know, I'm informing them of things that are going on. I'm working at those at-risk students and getting an opportunity to really see how those kids process information, how they learn, because it is so amazing to me how each child, even, you know, they say, you know, if you do these following things, those kids will improve. Sometimes that isn't necessarily true. You know, I think each kid is so much an individual, and I think you have to look at each individual and what their needs are. But I think that that has made a tremendous difference. I think it also has brought us together so that we can work as collaborative teams. We're much more in tune with where our students are at and the progress that they're making. I'm teaching the things that I feel are important as I spend time with those kids in small groups, which, you know, teachers may not have opportunities to do. I'm able to say to them, you know, when they come back into your classroom, these are the things that are going to benefit them. And I think working as a team collaboratively makes a huge difference. And being able to have those kids in small groups also makes a tremendous difference. And also spending a tremendous amount of time with early intervention, those kids that are, you know, those kids that are K-1 and 2. Research has said that if you can get with those kids as quickly as possible and bridge that gap, or at least give them some strategies for those things that they may not be able to. I mean, they may not ever be a fluent reader, but you could give them strategies on what they can do for the remainder of their, you know, their school career. So I really think that that has made a tremendous difference. And there's so much information out there. I think that's the thing too, is having an opportunity for somebody to do that research, to bring that back to the teachers, to bring that back to the school districts, and then passed on to the state would make a tremendous difference.
Thank you very much. And last question is on my printout. I can't read your email address. Would you please provide that?
Please send me an email. It's jkeplinger01@kodiakschools.org.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
And looks like we're not quite done yet. Representative Booth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nominee Keplinger, looks like you're going to be moving on here. There are a couple of things that I would like you to consider in this endeavor, should you accept and go on with this. You broached both of them. The good news, bad news about early intervention, early detection, is that, yes, we can see lots of things. We now have a broader scope of how to look at children, what it is that we can see, how do we intervene. The bad news is, with every kind of intervention, there's a cost.
Yes.
And we have limited resources here. So in being effective and efficient, we're going to have your kind of help in that overview. The other thing is that starting at a younger age, I'm not, I don't know exactly how to impress you with this, that you mentioned it. It is a stigma that with some things as vocational educators, we have lost over the last 50 years the availability of teaching kids in every school the opportunity for hands-on kinds of education. And I believe that with certain people that, and you mentioned one of yours, my brother was like that, that it's the only way to reach them. It's the only way that it's a tactile experience as well as visual and hearing. And they have to have that in order to be able to function. So how do we impart that at an earlier age so that we understand that in becoming successful, we have that opportunity as well? Academic is probably the highest achievement level that everybody should be looking at for whatever, and that might be for somebody like me, 70 years of age to get their college degree. However, in the course of a career, we have 3/4 of our students that whether they graduate or not, end up with a job that does not require a college education. And I would hope and implore you keep that in mind in this job. Thank you.
And before we go to Representative Keller, I just wanted to bring up one more thing for you as a state board. We have heard, and I talked to the Professional Practices Commission about it, but it's really in your bailiwick. We've heard from multiple sources that many districts and teachers across the state are not fully utilizing the annual assessments that are being generated for identifying where individual kids are. And so I just wanted to mention that to you so that when the state board is talking about things that they can look at, possibly fuller utilization of the assessment scores to identify where kids are might bring us some gains.
Okay.
And Representative Keller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Having reviewed Janelle Keplinger's application for serving on the State Board of Education, I would like to move that we move her name forward to a vote of the full body.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Seeing none, we will move Janelle's nomination forward for consideration by joint session. And thank you very much. And before anybody has to leave, we do have one more person, by the way, for professional practices. But there's going to be a subcommittee meeting tomorrow morning, and that is at 7:30 here, coffee and bagels or donuts or something, with the State Board of Education. Not tomorrow, Friday morning, just before Education Committee. 7:30 in this room, and everybody's invited, and it'll be an informal subcommittee meeting so that we can have informal discussions with the State Board of Education, which is meeting in Juneau tomorrow and Friday. So there will be opportunity for us to talk to not only this nominee but the many of the board members. Representative Edgman?
First off, I just want to thank Janelle for traveling from Kodiak to be here in person. I appreciate you doing that. And Mr. Chairman, do you mean on Friday a work session, or is it an actual subcommittee that you formed from this committee?
It is a, it's kind of like the Fish Caucus. It's a just an open session. It's a breakfast, okay. But it's a subcommittee because it's not going to be a formal presentation. It's just going to be so that we can interact the folks that from the committee that wish to come. So it's a subcommittee of the whole meeting with
I just wanted to make sure that I've missed a couple of minutes.
Yes, no, that's just it's an opportunity in an informal setting to get to know the state Board of Education. Thank you very much, Janelle. And we have Linda Lee Gillum Black. Are you online? Nope, oh, she's not online. She's not online. So we will hold Linda Lee Gillum Black's nomination for consideration later. I did have a request. We have an ongoing conversation on many issues, and one of them was the early childhood piece. And I had a request that the committee talk with Principal Chris Lighton, and who from Galena, who's familiar with the Parents as Teachers program. So what we'll do is have a would you come forward? And we are on the record, and also if you would identify yourself and who you represent for the record.
Thank you, Chair Seaton. This is Chris Raiton. I'm the principal at Sidney Huntington School in Galena, Alaska. And I'm also the president-elect of the Alaska Association of Secondary School Principals.
Great. Well, we appreciate you coming forward, and you've heard some of our questions today, and we've been we had a very interesting presentation. Especially Parents of Teachers, especially from the Hoonah School District, which runs Parents of Teacher program through the actual district there. And so we're interesting for any perspective that you can give us from your knowledge.
Sure. Actually, we 4 years ago, we wrote a grant, Native Education grant, and modeled our grant after the Hoonah program. And in Galena, we have an early learning center that is child care, is preschool, and also houses our parent as a teacher program. And we start working with our young children in our community as when parents sign up almost immediately. And we've tried to do a job of transitioning not only from the family into our early learning center with preschool, but then into our kindergarten. And from 4 years that we got a 3-year grant, we were able to extend it for a 4th year, we're seeing huge differences in regards to literacy development, in regards to parenting skills, in regards to comfort of parents coming in and working with the school system. And we're tracking it through right now through our kindergarten profile, as we've had kids who started a little bit later. You know, this is we've had it for 4 years. It's making a big difference there. We were also tracking it in regards to our data with the Terra Nova. We choose to, statewide, school districts test their students on the Terra Nova CAT 6 on grades 5 and 7. We choose to test our early grades as well to get another indicator, and that's making a huge difference. Our kids are scoring above the national average across the boards in the first and second grade grades. And I don't see how we can move as a state forward without looking at putting more resources down in the early learning area. We've tried to have a comprehensive approach from the time they're born and looking towards our whole spectrum in Galena in regards to the different options of vocational programs and that type of thing, and trying to expand from an entire community perspective. And this is a piece that we've been able to bring in the last 4 years that was pretty much a missing component. And if you look at the research in the Parent as Teachers program that comes out of the University of Washington, it's phenomenal. The work they do, the training that they do, it's cutting edge, it's up to date. And it just makes good sense. And then the key piece for us is getting the right people in those positions to be working with our families in the home. And that's an easy thing to say, but having someone who comes in, you know what I mean, into a family and have a family welcome in and say, these are things we can be doing with your child in regards to, like, sometimes it's just as simple as a book giveaway. You know, here's some books that you could read to your child. Sometimes it's in regards to what are some developing the appropriate games that you can be playing with your child, so that child, even as they transition to preschool or kindergarten, has the skills where they can be successful. And when we have kids who transfer into Galena from outside communities who didn't have access to a preschool program or didn't have access to a parent as teachers program, it's night and day, and it's phenomenal in regards to what you see in regards to the difference in just kind of like school-ready skills.
Great. Well, we sure appreciate that. We have Representative Keller and then Gardner.
Thanks for coming and testifying.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. Appreciate it.
It sounds like just a great organization. I'm really impressed. You know, providing, giving tools to parents to be better parents. You know, and get kids ready for school. Looks really great. I was just wondering who was the grantee? I mean, you applied for a grant, right? Was that a foundation? U.S. Department of
Education? Native Education grant to the Department of Education, yes.
So it was part of the Native Education grant system, okay. And is that money ongoing?
It is not. We actually, it was a 3-year grant. We extended it for a 4th year, and this year we actually just submitted last Friday a renewal for that grant. And I think we've done a better job the second time around. But we're kind of on pins and needles. But without those outside funds, there's no program.
We'll follow up. Representative Keller?
I'm just trying to get a grasp on it. So when I look online at Parents as Teachers, you know, they got a really good and impressive and delightful website. And so the administration of Parents as Teachers is the U.S. Department of Education. Or is it a nonprofit, or what is it?
Good question. What we did in regards to our grant is that we were in contact with Luna. We knew that they had a Parent as Teachers program. We knew it was successful there. And as a way to attack our whole early learning center, we have a building that houses child care, preschool, and this component coming out of it now is that that was kind of the missing link for us. And it was also in regards to the grant agency having a research-based program that would be aligned with your program, and that's what we were looking at. It was the best one we could find that we could bring in and supplement what we already had going on.
Thank you. Follow-up, and I'm just trying to fill in my ignorance, you know, and that is, so evidently the U.S. Department of Education has an ongoing interest in keeping parents as teachers functioning and alive and whatever, and I just, you know, that's what I'm trying to
get. You know what, I can't answer to that. I don't know if the Department of Education has a real clear interest. What they have an interest in is in research-based programs that have been proven to work. Parents as Teachers is one of them, and that's the one that we chose to partner with.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Representative Gardner.
Thank you very much. Will you be doing some sort of formal write-up about the results that you've seen in your own district as a result of
We do it every year. I mean, part of it is in regards to continually to access the money. The money's given to you on a 1-year. We had a 3-year grant, and we had to, and all the objectives that we put out into our grant, we had to then provide evidence in where we were in meeting those objectives. And so for the last 3 years, I have all that write-up that we had to submit to the Department of Education. When I get back to Galena, we'll start that process in regards to closing out. Right now, I alluded to some of the results that we've seen in Galena in regards to our kindergarten profile and our Terra Nova data at the first and second grades. And we're going to start looking at, right now we have our first crew of kids who've kind of come through the whole system from preschool, first, second, with these programs in place. And with the third grade SBAs, we're going to be taking a look at how those kids perform. One thing that we have seen, you know, and what gets bantered around a lot in Alaska, and it was alluded to in the last testimony, was the discrepancy between Alaska Native students and I would say Caucasians. When you look at eliminating the achievement gap, what we do in Galena is we compare how our Alaska Native students are doing against the Caucasians statewide. And at almost every grade level right now, particularly at the lower grade levels where we had these resources in place, it's eliminated. Our Alaska Native students are performing as indicated on the standards-based assessments. That's one at or above the state level, not only for the state level, but at or above the state level for Caucasian students. And we're very pleased with it. And the next piece we got to look at is in how do we continue that trend as students keep progressing through the grade levels, because nationally and in the state too, you start seeing a little bit of a decline at the junior high level and a little bit of decline at the high school level. And had some nice conversations with Representative Buick yesterday in regards to vocational education as being one other piece that then can keep kids interested. And that's also another part of our whole educational program in Galena that we're looking at in regards to developing even further than what it already is and having lots of choices for kids to be successful. I think so much in education, I was a product of a very typical, you know, high school education. I'm living now in rural Alaska, where my high school education did not give me the skill set to be successful. I should know how to weld when I got there. I should have known how to tear apart an engine when I got there. I'm coming in as an outsider with some certain skills that helps the school system, but I don't have the, you know, I'm learning those skills as I'm there, and I think what we want to look at is how do we build access for those kids to have that repertoire of skills and that repertoire of experiences, so no matter where they go, that they can, one, take care of themselves, but also then being contributing members of society, and also have lots of choices. I mean, we are a state that's our economy is based basically on the blue collar back, you know, in regards to fisheries, in regards to petroleum development, and all that. And having those skill set where kids can learn well, and then be successful in whatever endeavor it is, either traditional academic, or I'd consider other academic areas, and vocational is another academic area.
It must be. It must be something in water in Galena.
Thank you, Representative Keller. I had a couple questions, and one of them was, what percentage of the parents in Galena, I presume these are voluntary programs.
Yes.
So what percentage of the parents are participating in the Parents to Teachers program?
And the Parents to Teachers program is from an infant to year five. And our last reporting, it's not exact here, and I'm thinking back in regards to what we reported. I'm going to say about 75%.
So that's about where HUNA is. HUNA reported at about 80%.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing that HUNA said was you can look up through and see the kids that are successful in school, and almost every one of them are kids that went through the program. And I mean, before it was at 80%, now it's at 80%. But and so you have 4 years of data now, you said?
Yep, we're just coming to our fourth year of data.
And would you mind sending to the committee the reports that you have?
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be great, because we're trying to find that data set and that research.
Should I email it through your email address?
Yes, if you would, that would be great, and I'll share it with the entire committee. Representative Gardner, did you have a...
I was going to ask for the data.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Well, that's very interesting, and I guess, you know, we are... the committee chair has asked for the commissioner to come back and talk to us about the grant program that we have for early childhood, mm-hmm. because the initial indications we had, 20 or less in a class and 15 hours of contact, seemed to be too confining for and didn't seem to be necessarily what got us the greatest bang for the buck. And we were very interested in Parents as Teachers program, and we wanted to make sure, and I understand, just for everybody's knowledge, that the commissioner is holding a conference or a working group that is going to come up with those RFP criteria, and so the commissioner will be coming back and sharing with us and working with us on how those grants go forward, because we're very interested in results-based programs, and we want to make sure we're not driving the programs by philosophy, and if they don't produce results, mm-hmm. we want a results-based programs. And so anyway, your information will help us as well, and I appreciate that. And Representative Benjamin,
can I just make an observation, Mr. Chairman? Entering our third month on this committee, and we're hearing from basically every subject matter related to K through 12 education university you can possibly imagine, which is what we should be doing, and that's the purpose of having standalone education for the first time in the history of the legislature. But my observation is this, that as we grapple with the dropout problem and really look for ways to sort of mitigate these numbers that are pretty alarming when you compare Alaska to other states, and certainly alarming by any standard, it just seems apparent that the more we do on the front end, such as what you're doing on Galena, versus the back end, which is what we're trying to do, may be the silver bullet that we're actually looking for in the scheme of things. You know, I'm not making that as a definitive statement, but I'm just saying that the more I sit here as a committee member and as a policymaker and hear from the various entities, that that's seems to be the striking observation that continues to kind of push forward to the top of the list.
And may I comment?
Sure.
And I thank you for saying that, Representative Edgeman. And all the current research is pointing towards that as well, you know, in regards to so much of our effort has been on the end in regards to trying to keep kids in the system who aren't feeling successful. You know what? Well, they're being successful. They're being successful in other ways. Sometimes for success for them is getting out of the system because it wasn't a good fit to them, or they never felt that they could compete at that level. And I think if we start turning more of our attention at the early L levels, it'll make a huge difference. It's not gonna eliminate all the problems, you know, in the secondary education. I believe with a concerted, deliberate, and sustainable effort, it'll minimize a lot of them. And we'll be seeing some huge, huge differences in regards to just what our schools look like, K-12 and the school system. So I just want to thank all y'all and applaud y'all for those efforts in regards to looking at some preventative stuff. And I don't know if it's preventative, but it sure will be in regards to our current system in regards to early L and quality early L programs.
And you know, from what we've been hearing and some of our perspectives anyway, is that on the early piece, we can make sure that kids have skill sets that will enable them. But if we don't change the way many of our classrooms operate, it's not going to make the difference that we need. So we're looking at both pieces, trying to figure out how we have kids that are successful with the skill sets too, but we also have to be teaching in ways that are relevant to those students. And I'm so happy to hear people identify not just with, oh, we're going to focus all our time and money on the kids' worst, on what that individual student is poor at. Because if we don't focus also on what they're successful at, we don't give them the fundamental understanding that they can achieve and that they are good at something. And so I'm very happy to hear that, you know, whether it's vocational education or whether it's some other thing, that we don't always focus all of our attention and all our money on the problem instead of making sure that they're drawn forward by success as well. So I'm very happy to hear many of these comments and ways. And I think sometimes we need to address that more, because we tend to get the problem thrown out and say, oh, here's the problem. And it's hard to figure out how it's a success we've got to reward, as well as just trying to catch up from a deficiency. So, Representative Boop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Principal Reitan, appreciate you sticking your nose in the door today. As a microcosm in our state, Galena has, you know, given yourself so many opportunities. It sounds like you are utilizing some of the facilities left behind by a military installation that's left, and certainly through the Department of Labor and some of the other entities that are working out there, we wish you the best of luck. But we certainly in this committee are looking at ways where we can address a myriad of problems, and along with, you know, a forecast that's pretty dismal economically, we're going to be looking at ways of being effective with some of the resources and monies that we have. So I think in the next couple of years, even though it's different right now, that some of the choices are going to be very difficult. And so we're going to be looking for you folks for some of those answers.
Okay, and thank you very much, Chris, for coming forward. And this is an ongoing discussion. It wasn't testimony on a bill, but we have had the subject before us on early childhood piece, on vocational education, on high school diploma, and then the other subject that we're trying to concentrate on is loans, scholarships out for further education. So as we've talked to other people, if you have further ideas that generate that you think we should consider, we'd appreciate you sending them to us.
Absolutely, and just thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And
Mr.
we will.
Mr. Chairman, before you close,
Representative Booth.
I would also like to recognize the principal of the largest junior high school in the state, who has been sitting here as well, Mr. Perkins. So he has sat through this, and I would like to invite him the same opportunity to send us his information should he have it as well.
Sure, and we're trying to extend that to all educators across the state because right. We know if it's brought only to when there's a hearing on an idea, the ideas are limited, so we would appreciate that. So with that, we will be adjourned at 9:47.